Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
I see lots of people notice I tried a mustache for a few weeks because I've had so many comments today. So I apologize if you've been here the last few weeks. I tried it. I got rid of it. Who knows? I took Pastor John Cameron's message about the old is gone, the new has come pretty seriously and got rid of it. If you were here last week, that joke made sense. Now last week we celebrated Easter, which is such an amazing time in the calendar of the church, to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what a powerful, weekend it was last week, celebrating that, through our worship service, through our Sunday morning services. And it really, was an amazing moment. And I guess off the back of Easter, we wanted to take time to kind of preach on the impact of the cross, the impact of what Jesus did at the cross. And truthfully, the impact of the cross is extremely significant. Globally, the followers of Jesus span across, I believe, every continent and country. The followers of Jesus, the impact of the cross is a global impact. It didn't remain in one location. It has spread. I mean, we're in Australia. We're not that close to where Jesus died. But the impact of the cross has spread and encountered so many people over the last 2,000 years. I mean, we could look at the impact of the cross on things like architecture, things like jewelry. How many of you in this room right now are wearing a cross, maybe on a necklace or so many hands, or maybe you've, like me, you've got a cross hanging up on a wall or a nice decorative piece that your grandma bought you for your wedding or something like that, that is hanging and decorating our houses. We look at architecture, we see beautiful churches. You go to some cities and there's giant crosses on top of mountains, right? The cross is so prevalent in our culture. We've got a neon one on this wall, right? I really like that one. It's cool. It's funky. There's so many different crosses because the impact of the cross has been so profound. And this morning, amongst all of those different things that the cross has influenced, this morning I want to look at a really personal outcome of the cross. The impact of the cross on each of us is the potential for freedom from sin. The impact of the cross can result in our lives in freedom from sin. Because when you reflect on the cross, ultimately you come to a heartbreaking revelation. You come to a place of realization that the cross happened because we, you and I, have fallen short of God's standard. That you and I have missed the mark, that we have allowed sin into our life. And the result of that sin was the need for God to send his only son to die on our behalf. Every person on this planet has sin. What is sin? Sin is the word that we use to describe the things in our life that separate us from God. The areas of our life where we fall short of God's perfection. The bad things that we do, that can be sin. Or the things we know we're called to that are good that we choose to ignore can be sin in our life. Ultimately, sin is when we fall short of God's standard. And when we acknowledge our sinfulness, we come to a place of recognizing the power of the cross. That in the cross, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, his sacrifice makes a way for us to be forgiven. We can be made new. And John Cameron preached that last week about the old is gone, the new has come, so powerfully. There is a new life. There is a clean slate, a fresh start. That is the message of the cross. The gospel is an ultimate level playing field. It puts each person, no matter race, gender, sexuality, no matter what seems to define you, what categories, it puts us all on the same level. Let's ask, who has sinned? Well, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All people. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, what's the consequence of sin? Romans 6:23 teaches us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So all have sinned. We've all fallen short. And the consequence of that is death, spiritual separation from God. But there's hope in that. There's a gift from God of eternal life. So how are we saved from the consequences of sin? Ephesians 2:8-9 teaches us that, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." The gospel puts us all on the same playing field. We've all fallen short. The consequence of that is separation from God. A form of spiritual death has taken place. But the gift from God is that He can give us eternal life through Christ, through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so this morning, I want to look way more closely at that new life. I want to dive into the new life that Jesus gives us. And I want to begin this message from a place of honesty and transparency. See, I was only 7 years old when I gave my life to Christ. Many of you have heard my story before. I've shared it publicly before. But my life transformation began with being healed miraculously of asthma. An amazing moment in my life. I'm happy to talk about it with you. And in that moment, I encountered the reality of God in my life. It was undeniable in my life, just at 7 years old. I know that sounds young, but it was so tangible in my life, I could not deny it. And so at 7 years old, I accepted Jesus. The thing about accepting Jesus at 7 years old is you've got a lot of life left to live. Right? There was so much still in front of me. I hadn't even faced my teenage years, let alone the rest of my life. And you see, the encounter that changed my life was so real, so transformative, but I still have to live the rest of my life learning to follow Jesus. And it was in my teenage years that I faced this question or this struggle, this challenge, that honestly has probably been the hardest challenge of my Christian faith so far. See, this question that I was facing was, if Jesus has freed me from the power of sin, how come I keep making mistakes? How come I seem to be trapped in habits and patterns of stuffing up? How can I be a Christian and still be making the same mistakes? See, about 10 years ago now, I found myself in this habit, this cycle that I couldn't seem to free myself from of being stuck in my sin. I made so many mistakes, but honestly, the pattern, the habit that had me trapped the most was struggling with the reality of lust in my life. How could I be free of something? How could I be free of something that was so internally keeping me trapped? Now, from the outside, everything looked fine. Outwardly, I had it together. I was a good Christian kid. Most people would have seen that about me. He's doing pretty good. Outwardly, I could put on a brave face. I still had my faith. That was obvious. I wasn't denying that. But inwardly, I knew the thoughts and behaviors that had me trapped. I could hide my sin from everyone else except myself. I knew the depth of the struggle that I was facing. Every time I made these mistakes, guilt and shame would come rushing in. I didn't want to be stuck in this cycle forever, but I also couldn't see how to deal with it. It didn't matter how much willpower I could muster up, just try and be good, try and avoid doing the wrong thing, just hold on, be a bit stronger. Maybe it would work for a week, maybe even a month if I was really strong, but it couldn't break the power of sin in my life. And I think this deep feeling of shame is something we can each relate to if we honestly look inwardly. The sin may be different in your life, but we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. Some of you here today might be feeling this way and you've never had Jesus in your life. You know the guilt weighing on your heart. Some of you are here today feeling this way and you are a follower of Jesus. The thing about sin and shame is it tries to convince us we're the only one feeling like this. We're the only one. Like, I'm more terrible than everyone else. I've got it worse. Shame tries to preach to you, to convince you that no one else has fallen as far short as you have. It declares to us, you've made too many mistakes. It's too great. You'll never overcome this. This is the message of shame. And it tries to push you to run away from church and from others, because what if they just caught a glimpse of the darkness in my life? If they knew, how would they think about me? What would they feel? And I love that last week John Cameron preached and he said the voice of the accuser that reminds you of your mistakes is not the voice of God. Shame is not the voice of God. God does not project shame onto your life. And this morning, I want to share how God set me free from shame and sin, the power that it had over me. Because I want you to experience, if you feel trapped, held back by shame, the true power and the fullness of freedom that Jesus Christ can give you. For me, it was a passage in Romans chapter 6 that completely changed what I thought I knew about God and myself. Romans 6, verse 6 to 11 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This passage absolutely messed with my mind. See, because the word of God, which is truth, collided with the voice of the accuser in my life. The word of God brought truth to me. And when I read this passage in the middle of my struggle, I saw myself in there, not where I was supposed to be, but I still saw myself. I saw myself in the phrase slave to sin. And I knew that's who I was in that moment. I was a slave to sin. A Christian, saved at 7 years old, living under the enslavement of sin in my life. I didn't have the freedom that Jesus was meant to bring to my life. It wasn't outworked in my life yet. This passage was messing with me. It described me, but it gave me the truth of where I was supposed to be as well. Let me go back to that verse, if we could put it back up. That first line, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Stop there. See, I knew that Jesus was crucified. I even knew that there was two other criminals crucified alongside him. I knew all of that. But I didn't know what Paul knew when he wrote these words in Romans. I didn't know that I too was crucified with Christ. I didn't know that myself that was trapped in sin died. That's the thing about the cross and crucifixion. It kills people. That might seem really obvious. That might be like the most obvious fact that this form of death punishment kills people. But I didn't know that I was crucified with him. My old self, my sinful self. I was crucified with Jesus. My old sinful self is dead. Your old sinful self is dead. That's so final. And as I read this passage, God began to teach me there's two things I needed to hold on to let go of my sinful self that has already died. Two things that I needed to take hold of. First thing was I had to take hold of the new identity that he wanted to give me. I had to take hold of the new identity. I also had to take hold of the personal responsibility that comes with the freedom he gives me. Let me explain. To be free from sin through Christ, we need to take hold of both. You cannot be free from sin in your own strength. You cannot do it. Doesn't matter how hard you try, doesn't matter how strong you feel, you cannot overcome sin yourself because you've already sinned. We need to receive the new identity from Christ. We need to take hold of that which he wants to give us, that new life, that clean slate. We have to take hold of that new identity. Similarly, we cannot walk free from sin and continue to choose sin. We have a new identity, but we can't use that freedom to continue to choose sin. There's a level of personal responsibility we have to take as well. Not apart from our new identity. In our new identity, we have to take responsibility. Let me back up this idea with a story and another passage from Romans. Last year, my wife Bella and I, we managed to take our first overseas holiday together. I'm glad Bella enjoyed it. That's great. Right? We got to go. I don't know if this is bragging or not, but we got to go to a place in Italy called the Amalfi Coast for a few days. It's such a beautiful spot. Maybe this is your recommendation for a holiday. I don't know. But on this trip, we got this train down to the coast and we needed to take a ferry to where our accommodation was. And so we're walking along the ocean of Italy with mountains, and it's beautiful. And we're walking with all our luggage, which was funny, but we're strolling towards a ferry stop. And I noticed this little old Italian fisherman. And I'm sort of interested because he's not holding a fishing rod like I would have expected to see. He's holding a long stick. No reel, just a stick with a rope or string or something attached. I thought, gee, I don't know much about fishing, but I thought it was meant to be harder than that. And I noticed this old Italian fisherman is just lifting up the stick and then begins to sort of lift up this string. And sure enough, hanging from the bottom of this string, or this line, whatever you're supposed to call it, clearly I'm not a fisherman, is a fish. I see the fish and I recognize he didn't catch the fish. The fish is the bait. And the reason I worked that out is because holding on to the fish is this big crab holding on to the fish with its claw. See, the crab hadn't been hooked with a hook. It didn't get caught with a crab pod or a net. It was simply holding on to this fish being lifted out of the water. And this Italian fisherman brings the line over a bucket, shakes it in the bucket, the crab drops off, and he closes the lid. Inside his bucket were a bunch of other crabs he'd already caught. The crab wasn't hooked. It wasn't caught. It was actually free. But it held on. It held on to something that led it to its death. It was free, totally capable of letting go and swimming away or walking away, whatever crabs do, shuffling awkwardly. It was totally free, but it held on to something that led to its death. Likewise, we in Christ are totally free. We have a new identity. The old died. The new has come. That is total freedom. We need to walk in it, not choose to hold on to the thing that would lead us back to death. Paul continues in Romans 6, verses 11 to 14. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. This passage is teaching us to take hold of the personal responsibility we have with our freedom in Christ. Do you notice the language that Paul uses? He says, reckon yourselves. Do not let. Present yourselves. In those words is the choices you and I make. To choose to walk in freedom or to walk back to the old that has already been buried. See, it's clear our faith in Jesus doesn't remove our ability to choose right or wrong. It doesn't remove that freedom in our life. So we have that choice. What more does Paul say in Romans 6? What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, think of that crab, or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Sin leads to death, righteousness leads to holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The end of last year, I finished a job where my head office was in Woolloongabba. And this year I've started a new job in West End a little bit further. And so 3 days a week when I drive there, I actually drive past my old office. And it's funny when you drive past a place that you're so familiar with. You know, I'm looking for the cars of my colleagues. I'm noticing the place I used to park, the old building. And I realized, like, one time I just thought, what would it be like if I just went in and parked where I usually parked? Like, I still know the code to the gate. I could just go and park there, right? I could walk through the front door. I don't have a tag anymore, but I'm sure if I said hi to the receptionist, she'd let me through. I still know her. I could walk in. I could go to the cafe that's inside and order the coffee I used to order. I could go to my old desk and say hi to my old colleagues. I'm thinking through this, like, how easy would that be? I completely have the capacity to do all of that. Why don't I? Because I don't work there anymore. Right? Like I have a new contract. My new contract says I'll arrive somewhere else and show up to work there, park in their car park, drink the coffee at their cafe. I don't forget to do that one. Right? I've got new colleagues and a new job and a new contract. It's the same with our lives and sin. Because of the cross, we're no longer under the old contract of sin. We're no longer bound by shame. We have a new contract, righteousness in our identity in Christ, a new place to rock up to. It means when the temptation to return to old is there, we say, no, I know who I am. I have a new contract. I used to arrive there every day. I used to go and clock into my life of sin and do my hours. I used to be bound by shame. Sure, it held me back then. No longer. I have a new identity, a new contract, freedom in Christ. Why would I go back? It doesn't make any sense. I knew that what they were paying me was death. I want eternal life through Christ. Jesus gives us a new identity. Jesus asks us to take responsibility for the freedom he's given us. When I make mistakes in my life still, which I still do, I'm not here claiming to be perfect. When I make mistakes today, I have to recognize, no, this is not who I am. I am free in Christ. It no longer defines who I am. I can repent of that and turn to Christ, knowing he has accepted me, he has forgiven me. I don't need to live in shame. I don't need to think about that any longer because he isn't. I've got to accept what the word of God has revealed to me. That God has given me a new identity. He has set me free. I won't listen to the voice of shame any longer. No matter who you are this morning, Jesus can be the ruler of your life. Not sin, not shame. Which we'll try to be, and can be effective at trapping us. This morning, it's my hope that we would, I don't know, be like the wise crabs that let go. I don't know if any did. We can be the first. That we'd let go of the things holding on to us, leading us to death. Whether you're a Christian and it's still stuck in your life like it was for me, whether you've never understood why you couldn't get free of that addiction or that thing, because no amount of striving in your own effort will do it, Jesus Christ will give you a new identity. He will break the power of sin because he's already done it. We have to remember, Jesus has already done everything that he needs to do to bring freedom to your life from sin. He already died on the cross. He already rose again. He has given us that freedom. When we put our faith in him, we can receive that free gift. So across this room, when we all bow our head and close our eyes in this moment, this morning, if you're here, and you have never accepted Jesus, I need you to know that is the only way that will bring freedom from your life, from shame and guilt. If you need to turn to Jesus right now, just put your faith in him. What does that mean? It means to trust him. That when we said that he died once and for all, it included dying for you. For every mistake that you've ever made. If you're here in this room and you're accepting Jesus right now, turning to him, receiving that free gift, all I want from you
is as you're doing that in your heart, is to raise your hand in just a second so I can see who you are and I can pray for you as well. If that's you this morning, you're accepting Jesus, the new identity that is given you, why don't you raise your hand right now? Across this room, wherever you are, there is no condemnation in Jesus, only freedom and life. And in this moment, I know that there are many in this room who you know that you're a follower of Jesus. You've already accepted Jesus, but maybe you've been trapped by shame, guilt, and the sin in your life. Right now, I want you to recognize that Jesus has forgiven you. He remembers your sin no more. He embraces you openly and reminds you of the new identity he's given you.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.